Of course, your cause has been one that he has not embraced. I'm sure that this is a sort of conflicted moment for you.
Well, I think at this moment you have different political leaders all over the world that you might not disagree with, but that doesn't mean they should be eliminated, you know, that they should be shot at, that their life should be in danger in any way. That's a tragedy. That should never happen to any human person, no matter what their ideology. And I join the rest of the world in praying, really, for his speedy recovery so that he can continue his strong leadership in so many areas in which he's given leadership, even though I don't agree with every single point. But that will never happen.
Of course, the point that you most disagree on is the question of ordination of women. Where do you think the leadership has been especially good, though?
Well, I think his whole area of human rights is speaking out on that and in providing strong leadership, a strong symbol for the church, his constant travels to put people in touch with the papacy rather than isolating himself behind, you know, the walls, so to speak.
That's why it's sort of ironic that it was behind the walls that he was hurt.
Yes. Well, but of course there were 10,000 people in the square. I mean, it's not exactly behind the closed doors.
Right.
Which is what I was kind of referring to.
Which I've only just heard in the last...
Is that the BBC coming in?
Yes, I guess
so. We hope they're still coming in there with us, though, sister.
I'm sure the Worldwide Communications Network is going crazy today, trying to keep up with it all. It's a real tragedy.
Let me ask you something. In terms of the point you've just made about the human rights, do you feel that his voice is especially important at this time? Do we seem to have other leaders getting away from that whole idea of human rights?
Yes, I believe so. I think that the softened line that the United States has taken in South America, in Central America, particularly with El Salvador, is a real tragedy. And the church and its leaders...
Can you hear me now?
So that his particular voice is one it's almost alone at this point.
Well, no, I think he's being as an international leader, probably. Yes, although it's very hard here in the United States, you know, to know what's being said around the world. You don't get very good coverage of what's going on from other places.
We try, sister. We try.
NPR is one exception to that, but I'm talking about more the networks than the daily press. Only in big cities do you get fairly decent coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to know what exactly other people are doing, but I'm concerned that the church continued to speak out on that issue, and I would hope that he would take continued leadership, and he'd be even stronger than he has been, and that what the church stands for, what the gospel stands for, what Jesus stands for, is that every person has a right to dignity, and that's what we should be about in this century, and especially in this at this time, with so many countries in Central America facing real oppression. I mean, you know, daily oppression, murder and violence. It's terrible.
And it's interesting that when he went to Central America, that he went with one message and came away with another one.
Yes, he was very touched by that. He was in Mexico, and that was one of his first trips after he was elected Pope, and I think it affected him greatly and has continued to affect him. And I would hope that, that when he recovers, and I pray that he will, that he will be even stronger, continue to be stronger about the whole problem of violence around the world. I'm sorry that it touched him personally, but let's hope that he will continue to press for human rights and abolition of oppression.
Sister, this is Jackie Judd. Something that you sort of just touched on, and that is how an event like this serves to unite a church and a people, just as some of the Pope's politics could divide the members of the Catholic Church.
Well, I think we saw the same thing happen when President Reagan was shot. I am not a strong supporter of President Reagan or his policies, but still, a national leader is the leader of the people, and he was elected. In this case, the Pope was elected. And it's sad that it takes you know, a tragedy like this to bring people together. But I think that shows, you know, that politics is not the real issue here in some ways. What we're talking about is human compassion, and that's what's important, is how do we respond to how other human beings are in need. And everyone has the right to life and to be able to pursue that life until God calls them. And that should not be interrupted by an assassin's bullet in any society, anywhere. And the kind of violence that has happened in our various cultures, you know, we must strive to bring the gospel of peace and to give people a chance to be heard so that they don't have to be heard with a bullet.
Well, of course, that is what this Pope was doing, and that is where you have endorsed his leadership. In the other question, the area where you were somewhat in conflict, the question of the role of women in the Church, had you begun to feel that there were any changes in that area? Is there any movement there?
The whole issue of women in the Church is in gradual evolution. It's like the women's movement in all of society. It's going to take a number of generations for it to sift down. We've already seen, you know, great strides. For example, last fall, when the American bishops approved a change in the language of the liturgy to remove the word Christ died for all men and just to say simply Christ died for all or Christ died for all people, that was a breakthrough. Because 5 years ago, people laughed when we talked about the issue of sexist language. Now it's being passed, you know, and people are saying it. It's a conscious move. That's a, you know, it's a one small step, but it is a step forward. And everywhere we're seeing, in Washington in a couple of weeks, next weekend, there's a big conference called Women Moving Church. And it's focusing on some of the issues of women and what they have done to move the Church forward. And everywhere you go, there's great enthusiasm as well as frustration, but there's not despair. And so as long as we can see some strides being taken, and there are strides being taken in many dioceses, and generally, it's harder to see it nationally. You have to kind of more see it locally. But then sometimes locally, it's hard to see the forest for the trees. So, however, when you look back over, let's say, 10 years, there's been enormous strides being taken.
Sister, on that optimistic note, we will say goodbye to you and to thank you also. That was Sister Elizabeth Tommen joining us. She is with the National Sisters Communication Service. I just want to add here, if you're just joining us, Pope John Paul II was shot at today at St. Peter's Square in Rome. He underwent about 30 minutes of surgery to remove two bullets. Vatican Radio is now saying that he is in serene condition. As Sister Elizabeth indicated just a few minutes ago, we are trying to collect reaction from around the world to this event. And right now we are going to go to New York, where reporter John Kalish has been talking to people, rather, on the streets of New York City.
Well, at first that was incredible. I can't believe that right after the president was in attempted assassination that they'd try this on a holy man who really has no political aspiration, just doing good for everybody. And why would anybody want to take a man's life, you know, that's not just trying to look out for the best of everybody in the world? I just can't believe that anybody could be warped that bad to want to do something like this to any holy man, regardless of it was the Pope or any other religious leader.
I feel terrible. I think this is terrible that we can't live like we should live. And I don't think it's really fair.
I feel that, you know, this world is really going crazy, and anyone who could shoot the Pope must be sick, and I really feel bad because the Pope was a good man and he helped a lot of people out.
I said, it's the first time I've been to Mass in about 7 years.
And you came here because the Pope was shot?
I was at work and I heard about it, and I figured, well, I owe him that much, you know. I can't imagine what kind of man would consider shooting a Pope, you know. A symbol of peace, and you turn around and you blast it. It's very difficult. I mean, I can understand a political leader, you know, but a spiritual leader, I don't understand, you know, blowing it away.
Well, I'm certainly in shock. This is the first I'm hearing of it. Unbelievable.
I'm overwhelmed. I don't think you can walk the streets any longer. I really am absolutely terrified. It doesn't pay to be an important or a good person in this life. It really doesn't.
Well, I don't have words adequately to express my reacts. It's terrible.
What did you think when you heard the news?
I think it's an indication that we all should pray more. I think there's a lot of people out there that need a lot of help. I'm very sad.
What we were hearing there was the reaction of some people in Manhattan this afternoon to the news that Pope John Paul II had been shot twice while he was receiving an audience in St. Peter's Square at the Vatican. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Robert Runcie, has sent a telegram to the Vatican, and we have the BBC's Michael Burstey, who asked him for his reaction to the news.
I'm shocked and appalled by the news, which I've only just heard in the last few moments, and I call on anyone who prays at all to join with me at this time in praying for the life of the Pope. He is a great pilgrim of peace in our world, and I've got two main recollections of him, which I always carry around with me. The first was the speech he made in Ireland, first I ever heard from him, in which he pleaded on his knees that the way of violence was not the way of Christ. The second recollection is of my meeting with him just a year ago last Sunday, when we talked together a little bit about the things that divided us, and then he said, but our chief need is to tread the costly road of peace in a violent world, and that should unite us at the deepest level.
Yes, indeed, he was a man who preached peace, so it must be even more shocking that someone like that should have been shot in this way.
Yes, and that's what I think will surround him with so much prayer and goodwill at the present time. I pray so.
Was he ever aware, do you think, of the dangers of public appearances and perhaps being the victim of a shooting like this?
Well, I suppose he must have been, but he never showed it at any time in my experience or in any statement that I've ever heard him make.
What we were listening to was the Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Robert Runcie, reflecting on Pope John Paul II and his 2.5 years as Pope. We have been getting several conflicting reports from Rome about the two men who have been arrested in connection with this afternoon's shooting incident. Initial reports say that one of the men was from South America. Subsequent wire stories say that he was Turkish. Another says he was Arab. Cokie Roberts, there's much that we don't know this afternoon.
I'm sure some of that, Jackie, is that the Italians are being very quick to let us know that he is not an Italian. It was not an Italian who did in the Pope.
In fact, the first bit of information we got was that the alleged assailant did not speak Italian.
Of course, the fact is that the Catholic Church is a universal church. That's what Catholic means. And that each one of those groups, somebody from South America, somebody from Turkey, or an Arab, would have reasons of history and of current politics to have some sort of gripe with the Pope. The most obvious would be a South American. That is the area of most controversy within the church right now. We are most familiar in this country with what's been going on in El Salvador and the role of priests and nuns in opposition to the right in that country. But there is a tremendous political movement on the part of the Catholic Church throughout South America. The whole role of the priest involved in politics and in union organizing and in land reform, and in some cases in guerrilla activity, has come under the general heading of liberation theology. And the Pope went to Mexico, it was his first foreign trip, expecting to speak out against liberation theology. That was the expectation before he got there, and that was the tone of his first remarks. However, once he had spent some time in Mexico and had listened to a lot of the priests and the bishops there, he started to change his tune and to embrace much more what the church was doing in terms of its working with the poor. After all, that was something that was familiar to him from his own time in Poland. It was more confusing for him, I think, than his own past, because, of course, in Poland, what you had was the church working against the state, and the state being, at least officially, atheistic and communistic. Whereas in South America, it was the church working against the state in some cases when the state was Catholic, and officially Catholic in most cases. So that, and it had been the church that had worked, the traditional church that had worked with the leaders to build up some of the great land masses that the wealthy owned. And so there was a lot of division within the church there. It wasn't a very simple, the church is on one side, the state is on another. It was more complicated than that. But the interesting thing about John Paul II in his trips to South America was his continued ability to listen and to learn. His second trip was to Brazil, which is the most Catholic country on earth. And again, when he went into Brazil, which has a military government, there was a lot of concern on the part of Catholic activists that the Pope would be speaking against progressives in Brazil. But in fact, he went into some of the poorest parts of the country and seemed again to be quite visibly shaken, the report said. He embraced one of the bishops who had been called a subversive by the state. He physically embraced him, not just intellectually or ideologically. And he really, again, seemed to back away from a hard line against participation in politics, which, of course, we heard in this country. He forced a priest to resign from Congress in America and another priest not to run. Yeah. Yes. But when it came to working for the poor in Latin America, he continually would go in with a hard line and soften his position as he saw the conditions in the country. So that he, on the one hand, seemed to be taking away the support that the young and more liberal priests and bishops were working with the poor, and then once he saw what was happening, to give them support. Now you can imagine what kinds of controversy that causes within the church, and therefore it would not be surprising if this person in Rome were a South American.
Thank you, Cokie Roberts. We're going now to a live interview with Father Maurice Fox, who is the Director of Communications for the Archdiocese of Washington. Good afternoon, Father Fox.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. Father Fox, what are the events planned here in Washington, in the nation's capital today, to pray for the recovery of the Pope?
Well, when Archbishop Hickey, the Archbishop of Washington, heard about the terrible, violent attack on the Holy Father, he first of all notified all the parishes of the Archdiocese to have special prayers and special masses for the well-being of the Holy Father and his health and the other victims involved in this tragedy. The second thing is the noon mass this afternoon was celebrated by the Auxiliary Bishop of Washington, and the Archbishop is celebrating a mass this evening at 5:30 at the cathedral, and he's having a prayer service at 3:30 at the cathedral also. The reactions of the people that were at the noon mass were just saddened by this, and the Archbishop was, I think, not shocked and saddened, but really very concerned that here was a man of peace that went about the world trying to establish justice and right order and nonviolence. To be a victim of this tragedy is just so sad.
Father, have you found that the churches around Washington are overflowing today?
Oh, yes, the noon mass was extremely full, and people said, I heard them say, well, Father, I was on my way out to lunch when I heard that, and I came here instead. And, of course, there are people in tears and people very concerned, and they come up and say, we're praying for him. We've received word from various Christian churches saying that they are praying for the well-being of the Holy Father. The bishop, the Anglican bishop, Bishop Walker, has sent word to the Archbishop here of prayers here in the Greek Orthodox community, and they're all coming in. They're trying to be in union with the praying people here for the welfare of the Holy Father.
Father, are you in contact with the Vatican? How is word getting to you?
Well, to tell you the truth, we're getting most of the wording from the media.
Mm-hmm.
From that, the Vatican Radio is updating their reports regularly, and that's coming out through the media. I have not been in touch with the Archbishop for the last hour now. Whether he's been in contact with Rome, I don't know. The Archbishop was in Rome at the end of March and had a private audience with the Holy Father. And he'll be, I'm sure, addressing his thoughts and reflections about him this evening at the cathedral.
Is there any kind of a network of communication? We always think of the church as being so centralized and organized. Is that a misconception in this case?
No, I wouldn't say it's a misconception. It's just that when you think that they have to notify hundreds of bishops' conferences and papal nuncios and apostolic delegates around the world, that does take time, whereas they can put it on Vatican Radio and it goes out in the public media. So you and people like yourselves are being very helpful in keeping most of the world informed about what's happening.
I know there's a section of the Mass where you pray for the Pope as part of the liturgy. I'm sure that particular part of the Mass will be very, very much felt this
Absolutely.
Afternoon.
Absolutely. So you pray, and I think that if I would have anything to say, is I would ask all the people of goodwill of whatever confession or faith or whatever, to pray for the Holy Father. He's a world figure who speaks the gospel of justice and has never been, you know, he was here 2 years ago in 79, but was never concerned about his life. He is more concerned about being out with the people, touching them, listening and hearing what they have to say, and also speaking to them from his heart of his interpretation of what it means to be a Christian and a follower of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I know in traveling with him during that time that the security that was imposed by the various police departments and the Secret Service was great, and it always annoyed him. He was constantly trying to get past...
I was in charge of the media here in Washington, D.C. We credentialed almost 4,000 people.
Oh.
And really, they would talk words of security, and basically our thoughts were for the comfort of the Holy Father. Most of the security was, if you want to call it security, was that in enthusiasm, people would rush to greet him, that he'd be crushed by such enthusiasm. So we really spoke about the comfort of the Holy Father as opposed to the security.
Right. He was constantly sort of pushing beyond whatever security there was and getting to the people.
Touch people. He loved to kiss the babies. He loved to touch you and say, be strong in the faith. God bless you and pray for me. Because I was at every event that he was there in these 2 days, and it was just so edifying the way he would constantly want to reach out and touch the people, irregardless of his own life. I mean, that's the Good Shepherd, I guess, lived out according to the gospel.
He more than matched the enthusiasm of the people who were around him at all times, it seemed.
I thought...
Irrepressible, really.
It was great. It was great. But now we just have to pray that our faith be strong, we accept the will of God, but I just think he's going to pull through this. His job, I don't think, is finished here on earth. He's too good a person.
Father, thank you very much. That was Father Maurice Fox with he is the Director of Communications with the Archdiocese of Washington, outlining some of the services that are going on here in the nation's capital and certainly at churches around the country. There will be a special service at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City, for example, this evening. Let me bring you up to date with the information that we do have. Of course, now you know that Pope John Paul II was shot twice in the side this afternoon as he was riding in his white Jeep through a crowd of 10,000 people in St. Peter's Square for his general audience that he holds every Wednesday afternoon. Vatican Radio says that no vital organ was struck by the two bullets that entered the Pope's body, and he then underwent an operation that lasted about 30 minutes. He is now reported conscious and serene. I'm Jackie Judd, and this is NPR, National Public Radio.
This is National Public Radio, KCRW in Santa Monica.
From National Public Radio in Washington, this is a special report. I'm Richard Harris. Vatican Radio describes Pope John Paul's condition as conscious and serene following a 30-minute operation to remove two bullets. Neither of the bullets struck vital organs. The Pope was shot about 2.5 hours ago as he rode in an open Jeep in St. Peter's Square. Reporter Jack Payton is in Rome.
The shooting of Pope John Paul II took place in late afternoon as the Pope was arriving in St. Peter's Square for his weekly Wednesday audience. There were about 10,000 people in the square at the time, and the Pope's open car was moving towards the left side of the square when the shots rang out. Witnesses said they saw bloodstains in two parts of the Pope's body clearly visible on his white silk vestments. The Pope's car then rushed immediately at high speed inside the Vatican, and within a few minutes, an ambulance rushed into the area, picked up the Pope, and took him to a nearby Rome hospital.
The Vatican spokesman says the Pope was shot by a foreigner. Police sources say the man detained told them he was Turkish and a student at Perugia University. Police say he was carrying a revolver when he was arrested. The gun found at the scene was a 9mm semi-automatic pistol. A second man was also arrested in connection with the shooting, and police are looking for a third suspect. There's still no motive known at this time. Two women in the crowd in St. Peter's Square were also shot and wounded. One of them is identified as Anne Audrey of Buffalo, New York, said to be visiting the Vatican with a travel group. She was shot in the arm and is not in serious condition. The other woman wasn't named, but authorities say she is Italian. Both are in the hospital, and they were standing next to the Pope. In New York, the Vatican's representative to the United Nations, the very Reverend Ettore Di Filippo, spoke with reporters about the shooting.
We are deeply shocked at this very unbelievable news, but thank God it seems that it's not as serious as it was reported at the beginning. So we are praying and hoping that very soon the Holy Father will resume his pastoral work.
Also in New York, reporter John Kalish got reaction to the shooting outside St. Patrick's Cathedral.
What was your reaction when you heard the news?
Well, I still can't believe it. I'm very shocked, to be quite honest with you. I'm very upset.
Could you believe the fact that someone would actually try and kill the Pope?
Absolutely not. I know it can happen, but you just don't believe it.
It's the state of the world, unfortunately, is all we can do is continue to pray and hope that things get better. What else can we do?
What was your reaction?
Very sad. Very, very sad. I said a prayer for him. It's okay.
What did you say in your prayer, if I may ask?
May God spare his life.
Did you come here today after hearing that the Pope had been shot? What was your reaction?
I felt terrible. I really do, and I hope to God he lives.
This has been a special report from National Public Radio. I'm Richard Harris, and this is NPR, National Public Radio.
This is a special report from National Public Radio in Washington. I'm Jackie Judd. Pope John Paul II now appears to be out of danger after 30 minutes of surgery to remove two bullets that struck him as he was riding through the crowds at St. Peter's Square outside the Vatican in Rome this afternoon. He underwent 30 minutes of surgery, as I say. Vatican Radio is now saying that the Pope is conscious and serene. The Pope was holding his usual Wednesday audience. There was a crowd of 10,000 at St. Peter's Square as a gunman struck. Two gunmen apparently have been arrested thus far, and officials in Rome are now looking for a third man. So we can say now that Pope John Paul appears to be out of danger. Ira Flato has just joined us. Ira, do you have more recent news for us?
Well, Jackie, that may be a bit premature because we understand now that the reports have it that the Pope is now back in surgery for the second time. The first time they took out two bullets from the Pope, and those bullets did not hit any vital organs, and he was described as being in serene and conscious condition, although in serious condition. Being back in surgery for the second time means that there may have been additional injuries which they felt could have waited for a second surgery, which were not life-threatening. So this may not mean that he's in any more dangerous condition, but any time you go back into surgery certainly is a dangerous condition itself.
Mm-hmm. One thing, though, working in his favor, of course, is health that everyone seems to comment on for a man of 60 years of age.
And, of course, that the bullets hit nothing vital. The fact that the first surgery lasted only half an hour means that they didn't have to go and fix any vital plumbing, you know, anything that hit an artery or a vein that was bleeding terribly. So that's good news in itself, but we'll have to wait and see what happens during the second surgery now.
Thank you, Ira. The Pope was taken immediately by ambulance to the Gemelli Policlinical Hospital in Rome. That hospital, by the way, is said to be among the best in the city. And as Ira Flato just said, the Pope is now back in surgery for a second time. We go now to Chicago, where our reporter there, Scott Simon, has been collecting the reaction of some people in the city, their reaction towards today's event. Scott?
Jackie, of course, this is the nation's largest Catholic archdiocese, and it is
the second largest Polish city in the world as well, just so much smaller in its Polish population than Warsaw. It's a city that Pope John Paul has visited on a number of occasions, as a young student, then as a cardinal, and as the Holy See. It was the scene, of course, of the largest outdoor American mass during his American tour. There were about 1.5 million people that were crowded into Grant Park on that day that I think we all remember. And as you can imagine, the reaction here has been sad and stunned. The Archbishop of Chicago, John Cardinal Cody, is returning to the diocesan headquarters from suburban Mundelein, where he was officiating at the induction of some priests. Mayor Jane Byrne has issued a statement about an hour ago at City Hall after adjourning the City Council for a moment of prayer. She's called for greater handgun controls. But there's a special personal twinge in the reaction of a man we just spoke with named Edward Jaiwulski. Mr. Jaiwulski is the Secretary General of the Polish National Alliance, which has its headquarters on the west side of Chicago.
As of this moment, when we start to talk about it, I'm starting to you start to get tears in your eyes because it's a complete shock over here. Here's a man who has traveled how many thousands and thousands of miles and has contacted millions and millions of people, and all of a sudden, in his own little bailiwick, he gets shot. It's just something.